foster a sense of connection with each other and with ourselves and with the moment, to pause, to slow down, to be present, to intentionally cultivate the habits of mind and heart that allow us to be more fully in the world. And I thought today we could look perhaps a little bit at practicing with the mind. You know, the mind is such a busy place these days. And for many of us, it's part of the source of our stress, you know, is that our thoughts can fuel worry or fear or a sense of judgment or disconnect. And so it can be really rich to occasionally bring this practice. You know, we often work with the body, with the breath, which is so supportive. And we can bring that same kind of mindful awareness to working with the activity of the mind. And I think in support of this theme that's been emerging about practicing internally and externally, and some of what folks were expressing last week, you know, around just the energy of division in our country right now, much of that division is fueled by ideas, ideologies, perspectives, attitudes, and so being able to cultivate clarity around our own habits of mind is actually one of the ways of practicing internally that supports us in practicing externally in skillful relationship. So that's what I'd like to offer for today, and to practice and unpack that just a little bit. So I invite you to settle in to a posture that feels comfortable and supportive for you. To soften the gaze, or even to let the eyes close as a way of releasing the pull of the visual world. Often the visual world is one source of that fuels our thinking mind. So quieting the eyes can be a way of beginning to support the quieting of the mind. Taking a few breaths as we begin to land in the body in this moment. Beginning practice in this familiar way with the anchor of body and breath is deeply supportive as a foundation for working with the mind, so taking some care. Offering some time and space to arrive in the body. Feeling the touch points where your body is met and supported by the floor, the earth, the chair, resting into that support, maybe even gently sweeping the warm spotlight of your awareness down through the body, taking the time and care to connect with each part of the body briefly in turn. Inviting the body to release and relax into this moment. Paying particular attention to those parts of the body that can accumulate pockets of tension, tightness. Softening that space between the eyebrows. Letting the eyes rest back more deeply in their sockets. Releasing through the jaw, maybe even letting the teeth or the lips part ever so slightly. The energy of and the tension of thinking often accumulates in the muscles of the face and the neck, so taking extra care to soften and settle through these parts of the body can support the mind in beginning to settle. Perhaps opening through the throat, letting shoulder blades melt down the back body, allowing the arms to grow heavy and at ease. Relaxing through the diaphragm and the abdomen, maybe creating more space for the breath. Breathing into the back body, inviting the muscles along the spine to lengthen and loosen. Breathing into the hips and the thighs. Letting the exhalation carry away any unnecessary bracing or contraction in the legs. Letting the soles of your feet soften into the support of the earth beneath you. just as you rest the body on the support of the earth, resting your attention, resting the mind on the body, allowing the thinking muscle to begin to soften, to relax. Gifting the mind a simpler place, to rest attention, we're not trying to get rid of all thinking. We're not trying to completely empty the mind. It's not possible. If the heart pumps blood, the mind pumps thought. It's just the natural activity of the mind to think. But we can gift the mind an opportunity to rest. To rest by thinking simpler thoughts. Simpler thoughts that are a recognition of experience as it's unfolding, moment by moment. Thoughts like, oh, inhaling. Exhaling. Thoughts that acknowledge or recognize sensations as they're arising and passing, tingling. Pulsing. Tensing. Heavy. Warm. Cool. So we gift the mind a simpler job than solving the problems of the world. So you might explore letting the mind rest on a felt sense of the breath, and maybe letting the mind gently label inhale or exhale, rising, falling, for the movement of the rib cage or the belly. Or maybe just noting breathing. So gifting the mind the simple task of tracking the breath, or if it feels like a better fit, the gift of tracking sensations in the body. Maybe broadly just noting sensing. Or maybe silently labeling the flavor of the sensation, if it's obvious, if it doesn't require a lot of analysis. Vibrating, achy, twitching. So just exploring the possibility of simplifying the activity of the mind. Thinking simpler thoughts. And you might notice that the mind is pulled back towards complex thoughts, thoughts about the past or the future. Worries or imaginings. Regrets or recriminations. And when that happens, you might explore for a few moments if it's possible to observe these thoughts, to be curious about them, these habits of mind, to watch them in the same way you might watch clouds in the sky, watching thoughts move through the sky of your mind. Perhaps noticing how thoughts, like clouds, can have different energies. Some might be dark and stormy, some might be light and fluffy, some might be wispy and barely noticeable. Noticing how thoughts, like clouds, morph and change without you really having to do anything. Thought can feel like it arises out of nowhere and it disappears back into nothingness. So perhaps noticing the activity of the mind, maybe even gaining some awareness of some of the habits of your mind, and you might watch the thoughts in this way, like clouds for a little while, and then let the mind rest. Again, rest back into very simple thoughts, focused on breath or body. And as we come to the final minutes of this practice, just noticing the quality of mind you're experiencing in this moment. No judgment. Maybe coming home from wherever the mind's been wandering, coming home to simple thoughts about breath or body. To reflect, how might this capacity for simple thinking, simple present moment thinking, and the capacity to watch habits of mind unfold and change, come and go. How might that be of benefit as you relate out in the world? How might this help create space for authentic connection? For a world that might allow for more space to see and hear each other. With clarity and kindness. And perhaps from this place of settling, simplifying, maybe even touching a measure of peace or ease, wishing that all beings could know the safety, the peace, the ease of a settled, clear mind. And may all beings know the kindness that can come from truly being seen, heard, respected, and cared about. May it be so. Working with our thoughts, and sometimes thoughts get demonized, I think, in practice. Like somehow there's this misunderstanding or quixotic hope that practicing meditation will somehow get rid of your thoughts, or you'll end up with a completely blank or empty mind. And I'm personally deeply relieved that that's not the point of practice, because so far in my many years of practice, I've never found it to be possible. It's a really busy place in there, and I find it so hopeful and so helpful that what we are doing in our practice is cultivating a different relationship with thinking. Typically, we are lost in our thoughts. We don't even know that thoughts are driving the bus. You know, thoughts have an impact on us. They often give rise to tension in the body. You know, the thought that I don't like this or I want things to be different often leads to a knotted up stomach, or, you know, shoulders that are starting to feel like earrings or whatever it might be, or that headache as we're just tensing around something. And they often impact our actions, whether it's our actions of what we say or do or what we don't say or do, the ways that we're open or closed to the world. And so taking a look in there, it's like taking a look under the hood. You know, what's going on in there in the mechanics of the mind? And to bring a friendliness to it, a curiosity, and to just get to know, what are our habits? Many of us have habits that are quite frequent. You know, I know this mind tends towards planning and towards habits of anxiety, and, you know, some minds are wired in a direction of a lot of judgment or comparing with others, or, you know, daydreaming or irritation. And it's not, you are not your habits. So looking at your habits is not about evaluating your value or who you are as a person. It's illuminating something that has been formed through repetition and practice, often unconsciously, because we don't know that we're practicing judging, or we're practicing irritation, or we're practicing anxiety. Sometimes we know that, but sometimes we don't. Often we don't. And so when we start to see that, oh, this is what I've been practicing, it opens the doorway to practice something else, to not simply lean into or go along with the flow of that habit. And we can watch the mind, the activity of the mind, as we watch clouds. You know, clouds come and they go, and they morph and they change, and we don't have to do anything to make the clouds change. I can watch them outside my window right now, and they're moving, and some of them are really kind of expansive, and you know, there's a little grayness and heaviness, and some are like just these little tiny wispy thoughts, and we can choose what we pay attention to in the mind, just like we choose what to pay attention to in the vista outside our window. So it opens up, looking at the habits of mind opens up the possibility of more choice. And we could choose to practice habits of kindness or generosity or appreciation or habits of curiosity. We might not like some of what's being expressed in our own mind or expressed in the world, but how is it different to look at that with curiosity? Like, huh, where is that viewpoint arising from? Huh, could I listen to this? And can I also listen to myself at the same time? So for relating to others, looking at habits of mind can be helpful. You know, another image I'll offer is the image of a river. You know, is it possible to stand on the riverbank and watch the river, the thought stream, flow by without jumping in and getting carried out to the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean? You know, it's like the thoughts, can they just flow by? You know, the leaves, the logs, the toy ducks, whatever it is that's floating by. It's like, there's another thought. Look at that one. Wow, it's like a whole barge just walked, you know, floated down my river. And I don't necessarily have to get on that boat. Or if I find that I've gotten on that boat, can I let myself get off that boat and stand back on the riverbank and watch what's coming? And to be curious, like, does this thought have a history? Is it true? Is it helpful? How does it feel in the body? Oh, this thought feels really tense, or it makes me sick to my stomach. Oh, that's interesting. So, curiosity about thoughts, and creating a little space. It's really about creating a little space so that we're not caught up in the movie of the mind. We don't have to stop the movie. Really, it's about making some popcorn and watching the show and knowing that you're watching a show. You know, so it creates some space to reflect on, is this true? Is it the only perspective? How is this serving me? How is this challenging me or harming me in some way? To believe this story. When I've been on meditation retreats, one of my favorite instructions that's sometimes given is, you know, because thoughts can feel so random, you know, to sit and you're like, what's for lunch? Wow, I really want tomato soup. Oh, we had such a good tomato harvest this year. Is tomato a fruit or is it a vegetable? Remember back in the Reagan era where they declared ketchup a vegetable? I mean, like, the mind just goes and then it's like, ketchup, I love, you know, French fries. Oh, that reminds me of my favorite amusement park when I was in second grade. And we're just on this winding trip in the mind. So one of the instructions sometimes on retreats that they'll give is like, pretend your thoughts are coming from the person sitting behind you. Like, sometimes it's really like, it feels like we have that little control, right, over what's coming up in our mind. But we take them so personally, my thoughts. And it's like, maybe, but where did these come from? And we hold them like they're solid, and yet, you know, they can disappear in a moment, just like a soap bubble, right? So what might it be like to just start to watch our thoughts with curiosity and a sense of humor? You know, look at that mind go. We don't have to judge ourselves for having a really busy mind or an anxious mind or a judging mind. It's like, wow, wow. And do I want to choose to feed this habit of mind? Or do I want to practice something different? So I might just pause there and offer you a little time together to explore any piece of this that's interesting. What's your relationship with thoughts? You know, how has it been for you to try to find some distance or some space with thoughts? How do they serve you? How do they trip you up? And to just play a little bit with the territory of the mind. So we'll take, I don't know, maybe like six or 7 minutes and enjoy each other's good good company. Welcome back. So I'm curious if there's anything that would like to be shared from your exploration. What? Yeah. Julie. Yeah, really beautiful. And, you know, I appreciate, Diana, you bringing in your comments, because it's, this mind is such a trickster. You know, it's like the coyote mind, you know, it's like it sneaks in there. We're trying to do the simplest of practices that are about kindness, and it gets involved with commentary or chatter that can tangle us up. And And there's so many pathways for working with mind and body. And as we explore different options in this Wednesday group, it's not about one right way. It's like sampling from the buffet of options and what works for me and what might work for me in any given moment, because the conditions internally and externally are always changing, and even more so in this crazy world we're living in right now. So even when we get to a place and we're like, oh yeah, sometimes this practice works, and then we try it the next day and it's like it's a jungle in there, you know. I think it was Annie Lamott who said something, I won't get the beauty of her quote quite right, you know, it's like you know, my mind's like a dangerous neighborhood. It's better not to go there alone. You know, it's like, it's really treacherous territory in there. And so adding in some of those compassion practices can be really helpful. And it might be in the coming weeks that we'll do some work with some of those practices that can counterbalance the mind. And in the coming week, if it's interesting to you, you might just see what you discover about the habits of mind, and also what it's like. The other half of that guided meditation was to offer the mind a simpler task. That's often where the mind begins to settle, is we simplify, we slow down, we give it a job to name the breath or to name body sensations so that it's thinking simpler thoughts, and it's a retraining of the mind. And sometimes that settles us. And you know, the hard part is we're living in these times that have us really revved up. So a 15-minute or a 30-minute meditation doesn't necessarily counterbalance us to a place of, you know, deep peace, no judgment, and ease. So being really patient and gentle with yourself in that regard, too. So I might just offer us a closing poem entitled Thinking by Danusha Lamaris. Don't you wish they would stop? All the thoughts swirling around in your head, bees in a hive, dancers tapping their way across the stage. I should rake the leaves in the carport, buy Christmas lights. Was there really life on Mars? What will I cook for dinner? I walk up the driveway, put out the garbage bins. I should stop using plastic bags. Visit my friend whose husband just left her for the Swedish nanny. I wish I hadn't said Patrick's painting looked ominous. Maybe that's why he hasn't called. Does the car need oil again? There's a hole in the ozone the size of Texas, and everything seems to be speeding up. Come, let's stand by the window and look out at the light on the field. Let's watch how the clouds cover the sun and almost nothing stirs in the grass. So when you're on the merry-go-round or going down the rabbit hole of your thoughts, you know, if you can pause and breathe and take in this present moment, it can be a place to rest, to redirect where we're gifting our energy and our attention, hopefully to simple thoughts. Oh, sunset. Oh, light. You know, and even if just for a few moments, it can make a difference. And a difference over time as the mind practices something new, something perhaps more restful, more wholesome, less agitated. So I will be here next week. We can have a pre-Thanksgiving Day gathering on Wednesday. So if you're around, you're welcome to attend. We'd love to share our midweek gathering together and take really good care of your hearts this week and of those busy minds, and I'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Yeah.